the Lord's Supper tonight, and let me say a few thoughts concerning that. What we're going to do is really observe an event that's 2,000 years old, but that event is based upon another event that is 1,000 years older than that. And so just for a moment tonight, let me take you back about 3,000 years to the land of Egypt to an event that is known to the Jewish nation as Passover. Now, this is fresh on our mind. Last Sunday, we dealt with it last Sunday morning as Christ being our Passover lamb. Well, the God-appointed leader of the nation of Israel was a man by the name of Moses, and God had instructed Moses. You know the story, and really this is falling right in line with where we've been last Sunday and Wednesday night in Hebrews 11. But God had instructed Moses to go to Pharaoh. Of course, Pharaoh was the leader of the Egyptian nation. And God told Moses to command Pharaoh to allow the Hebrews, that is the Jewish people, to leave Egypt so that they could return to the land of Canaan, which was the land that God had promised to Abraham and his descendants. And Pharaoh repeatedly refused Moses' request. And in somewhat of a last-ditch effort to secure their release, Moses told Pharaoh that on a certain date, the firstborn of each family in Egypt would be slain by God's angel of death unless he released his people. And there were two ways that this terrible judgment could be avoided. Well, first of all, of course, Pharaoh could release the Israelites, or the Egyptians could literally come under Jewish protection. And the reason is each Jewish family was to sacrifice a lamb and smear some of the blood of the lamb on the doorpost of their houses. And when God's angel of death passed through, if he saw the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, then he would pass over and the marked house and spare those that were inside those homes. Well, Pharaoh refused to let the Israelites go. The angel of death came and took the lives of many Egyptians, and Pharaoh finally relented, released the Jewish people, and thus was born the Jewish feast, which has become an annual remembrance of Passover. Now, in Jesus' day, each Jewish family would bring a spotless lamb to the temple, and after the lamb was slain by the priest, the meat would be cooked for the Passover feast. And this sacrifice reenacted that event that took place in Egypt 3,000 years ago. And as we said last Sunday morning, 2,000 years ago, Jesus took the Passover feast, and he gave it a radically different interpretation. And Jesus showed 2,000 years ago what its ultimate meaning really was, that he himself was that Passover lamb. The blood that was on the doorpost was simply a symbol of his blood that, of course, covers all sin for those who have received his forgiveness and therefore his protection. To put it quickly and simply this evening, the message of the Lord's Supper is this: because of the dying of his body and the shedding of his blood, now a holy God can pass over your sins. And that is why this evening is we didn't come tonight to mourn someone who's dead. We came tonight to celebrate someone who is very much alive. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul gives his account of the Lord's Supper that he said was directly given to him by the risen Lord Jesus. And he describes in detail exactly what the Lord's Supper is to be and how it's to be observed. Let me give you a quick outline this evening. I think I gave this the last time we took the Lord's Supper when we were still in this school, so this may be fresh on some of your memory. First of all, the Lord's Supper, it is a time of commemoration. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' And after the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, said, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And so we're told specifically that in this moment in our life, in this very moment, we are to remember nothing except Jesus and his body and his blood. He is to be your sole focus right now. It's a time when you get away from everything emotionally, when you get away from everything mentally, and you totally focus on Christ, but not just Jesus Christ, specifically His death. I find it interesting that in the New Testament, Christ never told us to remember His birth or His life or His teachings, although we should, but He specifically told us to remember His death. In verse 20 of that chapter, we're told specifically this is the Lord's Supper, and so keep in mind that we are the guests. He's the host. Our focus is to be on Him and what He did at Calvary some 2,000 years ago. It's a time of commemoration. It's a time of appreciation. It's a time of thanksgiving. It's a time when we come to this table and we thank God for sending His Son. And His Son to let His body be sacrificed on a cross, to let His blood be shed that our sins might be forgiven. It's a time of appreciation. It's a time of proclamation. Verse 26 says, "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes." And so when we take the Lord's Supper, we are literally listening to a sermon. As a matter of fact, I think the Lord's Supper is probably, it in baptism, one of the most eloquent sermons about the death of Jesus that could ever be preached. The bread, of course, represents the body of Christ. The red juice of the grape represents the blood of Christ. And really, I say this often when we observe the Lord's Supper, but I think this is a wonderful way, one of the finest way that parents can really begin to explain the gospel of Jesus Christ to their children and explain the meaning of the Lord's Supper. Because, truth be told, not everybody here tonight can take the Lord's Supper. And that's because not everybody here tonight is a saved follower of Jesus Christ. Not everyone here has surrendered their life to Christ, and the Lord's Supper is only for those who belong to Jesus, who have a relationship with Jesus. Again, parents, when your child asks that inevitable question that they're going to ask, "Why can't I have that cracker? Why can't I have some of that juice?" It's a picture-perfect time for you to explain to your children exactly what the Lord's Supper represents and exactly why a person must surrender to the Lord, the Lord of the Supper, the Lord who the Supper represents, before they can observe and share in that Supper with the Lord. And that's when it becomes a time of proclamation. It's a time of examination. Verse 27 says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." The word "examine" literally means to qualify. It means to prove. In other words, before you ever consider taking this supper, you've got to make sure you're qualified. And two things will qualify you for the Lord's Supper. Number one, you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Lord of your life, and you've received Him as the forgiver and the Savior of your sins. But then number two, you are willing to be honest with any sin in your life and take care of that sin before you take the supper. It's a time when you need to really do three things with your sin. You need to identify it. You need to ask the Lord, as David said, "Search me, Lord, see if there be any wicked way in me." Then you need to rectify it. You need to confess that sin, admit that sin to God, get forgiveness for that sin, and then purify it. Make sure your heart is clean before the Lord. And understand the point that Paul is making in the text. There are some people who come to the Lord's Supper, and rather than giving up a sin in their life, whether it be a bad attitude or bitterness or a grudge against someone, whatever it is, instead of giving that up, they'll hold on to it and just not take the Lord's Supper. That's a cop-out. That's a cop-out. The purpose of the Lord's Supper is not for you to come and cling to your sin and not take the supper. The purpose of the supper is to force you to get right with God before you take the supper. And so at this point in time, don't think about any defects in someone else. Examine yourself. It's a time of examination. Then lastly, it's a time of anticipation. It says, "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death." And notice this phrase, "till He comes." And so every time we take the Lord's Supper, we are not only to look backwards, we're to look forwards. We're not only to It's a picture. It points toward the crucifixion. We don't only look backwards to a cross, but literally we look forward, literally upward to the clouds when Christ is going to come back. And of course, we know that Jesus said we only take this supper until he comes. Each time we take it, we're reminded that the same Jesus who was born of the Virgin Mary, the same Jesus who lived a perfect life, who died a sinless death, who was raised from the dead, is one day coming back to this earth so that you and I can forever sit at his table. I use this illustration or this story in one of my sermons in our series of John, our Gospel of John series a few months back, but I really like this. I read a story about a town in Alabama, and their major livelihood was raising cotton. One year, when everyone thought they were going to have a very fruitful, plentiful crop, there was a little insect called the boll weevil who invaded and devastated the crop, and in doing so, it devastated the economy of that little town, and there were it was just a really bad situation. But there were some farmers who decided that they were just determined they're not going to sit back and move into the poorhouse, and they were going to do everything they can to get around this. And so one man got the idea, I'll plant peanuts. He did some research. He found out that the boll weevils don't like peanuts. And another farmer decided it's a pretty good idea, so he planted peanuts. And before long, all the other farmers followed suit, and they had just bumper crops of peanuts. And it literally repaired the economy of this little town. The town changed their name. It's Enterprise, Alabama. And you know what they did? They erected a monument to the boll weevil, because they don't look at the boll weevil as a curse. They look at the boll weevil as a blessing. Well, we're not going to erect any monuments to boll weevils around here, but I'll tell you, God has given us the greatest memorial in all, in the bread and the cup. But there's a big difference. The boll weevil brought death, but Jesus Christ, because of his death, literally brings life. And that's why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. It's why we celebrate the memory of what Jesus did for us, because of what he can do in us and through us. And it all starts through his body and through his blood. This starts Holy Week. This is Palm Sunday. Literally, just a few days from when Christ met with his disciples in the upper room. Just hours, Christ would give his life for the sins of mankind. And I hope tonight, and I pray tonight, that you have trusted in that, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the salvation of your soul.